Morning, everybody. I'm still piecing this encouragement together. Hope you don't mind. You know, hear things, thoughts jump in your head. Oh, that's good. I got to use that. Well, so the young adults class and I are sort of working through the book of Revelation, much like the men and the women's did, but we're doing it slightly different. My goal is to have it done in a few weeks, not a few months or a year. So we're just going to get the speed bumps, you know. We're not going to dig way down. They can do that when they're older. That's what I'm thinking, you know. So we're just trying to knock out some of the speed bumps. But one of the things in the book of Revelation, it's talking about Jesus in chapter 19, picking up in about verse 11. So it's Revelation 19, 11. The scripture says, "Now I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse, and he who sat on him was called Faithful and True, and in righteousness he judges and makes war. His eyes were like a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns. He had a name written that no one knew except himself. He was clothed with a robe dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. And the armies in heaven, clothed in fine linen, white and clean, followed him on white horses. Now out of his mouth goes a sharp sword, that with it he should strike the nations, and he himself will rule them with a rod of iron. He himself treads the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. And he has on his robe and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords." And that's what I want to talk about this morning. Christ the Lord. In Acts 2 and 36, the scripture says, "Therefore let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ." Now, Lord there, I give you the Greek word, it's kurios, which means supreme in authority. And Christ is Christos, or anointed, i.e. the Messiah. Supreme in authority. Now, we don't have a lot of exposure to supreme in authority, not like they do in other countries. I think one of, I guess it's the rules or law of the land in Saudi Arabia was, you know, if you're caught stealing something, they cut off your hand, like right now. Not let's go to court and prove that you stole the item. No, they catch you and they cut your hand off. Like supreme in authority, right now. There's other countries, even today, if you're caught doing something you ain't supposed to do, it's death immediately. We don't see that in the United States. As a matter of fact, this is just a personal opinion. We've gone way too far to be lenient, to give everybody, you know, every possible due process of the law. It's absolutely crazy. There's no justice anymore because the laws that have been created eliminate justice. But I can't say that from up here. Right. So if you tell on me, I'll be writing you from jail. But this morning, as we look into the scriptures and we're thinking about Lord Jesus, supreme in authority, and we've gathered together to remember our supreme Lord's death, do we live like he is our Lord, supreme in authority over all facets of our life? So we're going to jump through a couple of these, and I'll try to do it reasonably quickly. Oh, somebody wrote on this board already. I wonder who did that. Exactly. But there was something that I wanted to add here at the end, and I thought about it after the fact. Remind me to fill those in as we go along, because I can get distracted. So the question this morning is, we've gathered together this hour to remember Jesus' sacrifice, is how is it that we perceive Jesus? You know, one of the things I like about The Chosen, Jesus is such a nice guy in The Chosen. You know what I mean? He's just a nice guy. But it doesn't look like the guy in the white horse that we just read about in a minute ago. Do we perceive him as a nice guy who died for us an awful long time ago? Or do we perceive him as the Son of God? Do we perceive him alive and powerful and sitting at the right hand of God? So tomorrow, or maybe even this afternoon, which is like in about 26 minutes, when you leave here this morning, as you walk out the door, you know, I can remember walking out this church door back in my younger days and thinking, okay, now I got to start thinking about work tomorrow, getting prepared for work and getting ready to, you know, face them demons that I worked with at MSU. It's kind of like I had to put my worldly hat on because I was all done with, you know, being holy. And that's a challenge, that we have to get this mindset that we are to be holy full-time, 24/7, that we don't have a separate life that we step into as soon as we get in the parking lot. Yeah, he talked a good game, but he doesn't know what I got to face when I get home today, or what I got to face tomorrow when I go to work. Because them people are nothing like church people. But that's part of that perception in our mind, is how we perceive Jesus. Jesus would describe himself to his apostles after his resurrection by saying, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth." All authority here on heaven and earth. "Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them all things that I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." Matthew 28, 19 and 20. All authority has been given to Jesus by God, and we call on Lord Jesus for many things. But is he truly the Lord of our lives? Is he the supreme authority on how we live? Number one, this is a growth process. Remember, I've just admitted to you, in my early Christian days, I came to church and I was holy for the hours that I was here, and then I had to start putting my earthly armor back on to go face some people at work. But as you get older, you start realizing, oh, no. This spiritual armor is much more effective when I go to work. I got to keep that on. Don't try to put on all that worldly wisdom to go back and fight the people you work with. Jesus would ask a very direct question in Luke 6 and 46. He says, "But why do you call me Lord and not do the things which I say?" Pretty important question. Divisions and problems within the body often stem from lack of submission to the supreme authority of Jesus as Lord. When people start getting their own agendas going, that's when we start having problems within the church body. Christ is Lord of all. You're supposed to help me. All. See, you got to be listening. This is testing your focus, okay? The Apostle Paul would tell us in 1 Corinthians 10 and 28, "The earth is the Lord's and all its fullness." Leviticus 27 and 30 says, "And all the tithe of the land, whether of the seed of the land or of the fruit of the trees, is the Lord's. It is holy to the Lord." Psalms 50 and 10, "For every beast of the forest is mine, and the cattle on a thousand hills. I know all the birds of the mountains, and the wild beasts of the field are mine. If I were hungry, I would not tell you, for the world is mine in all its fullness." The Apostle John said of the Lord in Revelation 19:60, "And he has on his robe and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lords of Lords." Is this how you think of Jesus? Or is he the meek and lowly guy on The Chosen, who allowed himself to be crucified and left us a message that we should try to be good to one another? Besides being King and Lord over everything we can see and touch in this physical world, he's also Lord of the church. You couldn't have known I was going there. I just wanted to see what you were going to say. But thanks for trying. Simon Peter answered and said in Matthew 16, 16 through 18, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." Jesus answered and said to him, "Blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. And I also say to you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it." The Lord is the one who adds to his church. In Acts 2 and 46 and 7, "So continuing daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, they ate their food with gladness and simplicity of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved." Now, the church is not brick, mortar, or wood. It's not this building. It is a living, breathing, international collection of people who have heard the good news and have obeyed the instruction to be born again of the water and the Spirit. That is the church that we're referring to. Ephesians chapter 1, just a couple verses. Picking up in about verse 17. Well, back up to 15. "Therefore, I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints, do not cease to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers." This is Paul to the church in Ephesus. "That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power towards you who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion, and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in that which is to come. And he put all things under his feet and gave him to be head over all things to the church." Thank you. "Which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all." Because we are the church, we should be very aware that Jesus is Lord of the church. He's the supreme authority. And it isn't up to us to run the show anyway, but rather we are to study the scriptures and rightly divide the word of truth and follow the pattern that has been provided by the Lord in his holy word. The Apostle Paul had some other advice regarding this in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, just a couple verses. Paul writing to the church in Corinth, he's reminding them in verse 9, "For we are God's fellow workers, you are God's field, you are God's building. According to the grace of God which was given to me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another builds on it. But let each one take heed how he builds on it. For no other foundation can anyone lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. No man-made religious-sounding traditions are required, just the basics provided by the Lord." Now, Acts chapter 2 provides quite a bit of insight into the church and how we are added to it, how we are to take care of it, and how we are to treat one another in the church. If Jesus is truly our Lord, our supreme authority of our lives, there should not be any issue regarding following the instructions, even to the point of how we think, because Jesus is Lord of our thoughts. Boy, somebody got that. That's great. This is working out magnificently. Thoughts. Second Corinthians chapter 10, picking up in about verse 4, just a couple of verses. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ, and being ready to punish all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. Is this too much to ask, that we bring our thoughts into subjection to Christ? The prophet Jeremiah gives us a clue as to how God looks at our thoughts. In Jeremiah 17:9, the scripture says, "The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? I, the Lord, search the heart. I test the mind, even to give every man according to his ways, according to the fruit of his doings." The Pharisees complained about the disciples not washing before eating, and Jesus explained the true source of the sins is from the heart in Matthew 15:18. "But those things which proceed out of the mouth come from the heart, and they defile a man. For out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness, blasphemies. These are the things which defile a man, but to eat with unwashed hand does not defile a man." That is why we need to bring our thoughts into subjection to Christ, because when we are left alone to our own devices, we default to that which is evil. Paul encourages the church at Philippi to be successfully meditating on the good, not the bad. In Philippians 4:8, "Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there's any virtue and if there's anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things." Personal observation. Personal observation. I've been doing some caregiving. Everybody know what caregiving is? Yes. It can be a bit challenging. Actually, it can be very challenging. It can be a lot challenging. There's different levels of caregiving, okay? So I've been doing some caregiving, and I'm not going to quantify it or qualify it. I'm just going to say I've been doing some caregiving. And my patience has been wearing thinner than I like. And I've been struggling with this. So I started humming. Humming Christian songs. And that worked a little bit, but actually singing them out loud is even better. Now I was getting some really weird looks at Target as I was walking around singing Christian songs, but you know, I was getting such positive feedback from maintaining my spiritual focus, I just didn't care what they thought. Look at the old guy walking around here singing to himself. What's wrong with him? I don't care, you know that? But this verse came to my mind as I was doing this, because I was thinking, you know what? When you force yourself to maintain a spiritual focus, this caregiving is not quite so bad. You can deal with it a little bit better. You know, I think Linda was just pulling my leg when she said, "You know, you probably should have been a singer." I thought, "Yeah, not me." Anyway, I just thought I would share that with you. When things get really stressful, start thinking about a song that you really like and start singing it. A Christian song, thank you. You know, a spiritual song. Yep. I may have mentioned that that song about "I Know Who Holds My Hand." Yeah. "Lord, hold my hand." I've been thinking about that. All right. Thoughts, we got that. Pay attention, because I'm not going to tell you this one. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Picking up in about verse 15. Do you not know that your bodies are members of Christ? Shall I then take the members of Christ and make them members of a harlot? Certainly not. Or do you not know that he who is joined to a harlot is one body with her? For the two, he said, shall become one flesh. But he who is joined to the Lord is one spirit with him. Flee sexual immorality. Every sin that a man does is outside the body, but he who commits sexual immorality sins against his own body. Or do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and you are not your own? For you are bought at a price, therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. What do you think the answer is?
Body.
Man, you guys are smart. You guys are smart. Supreme in authority. There's not much left here. You know what I'm talking about? Thoughts, body, church, all. Yeah. Hang on a second. Turn the page. 2 Corinthians chapter 6. Picking up in about verse 14, do not be unequally yoked together with unbelievers, for what fellowship has righteousness with lawlessness? And what communion has light with darkness? And what accord has Christ with Belial? Or what part has a believer with an unbeliever? And what agreement has the temple of God with idols? For you are the temple of the living God, as God has said, I will dwell in them and walk among them. I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Therefore, come out from among them and be separate, says the Lord. Do not touch what is unclean, and I will receive you. I will be a father to you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty. Therefore, having these promises, beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the spirit or in the fear of God. Our bodies, our spirits have been bought and paid for by Jesus. We are now the people of God, his sons and daughters, and we need to live like we are. Now, as we bring our lives into conformity with God's idea of how we should live and act, we need to be careful to follow his instructions exactly. And when we share the good news with others, there's no need to embellish it or add to it. The Apostle John had this concern in 2 John verses 6 through 11, 2 John. Picking up verse 6, this is love, that we walk according to his commandments. This is a commandment that, as you've heard from the beginning, you should walk in it. For many deceivers have gone out into the world who do not confess Jesus Christ is coming in the flesh. This is a deceiver and an antichrist. Look to yourselves that we do not lose those things we work for, but that we may receive a full reward. Whoever transgresses and does not abide in the doctrine of Christ does not have God. He who abides in the doctrine of Christ has both the Father and the Son. If anyone comes to you and does not bring this doctrine, do not receive him into your house, nor greet him, for he who greets him shares in his evil deeds. Apostle Paul had some of the same concern regarding the doctrine in Galatians chapter 1. Picking up in about verse 6. I marvel that you are turning away so soon from him who called you in the grace of Christ to a different gospel, which is not another, but there are some who trouble you and want to pervert the gospel of Christ. But even if we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel to you than what we have preached to you, let him be accursed. As we have said before, so now I say again, if anyone preaches any other gospel to you than what you have received, let him be accursed. For do I now persuade men or God? Or do I seek to please men? For if I still please men, I would not be a bondservant of Christ. But I make known to you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached by me is not according to man, for I neither received it from men nor was I taught it, but it came through the revelation of Jesus Christ. 2 Timothy chapter 4. Just a couple of verses. Verse 2, preach the word, be ready in season, out of season, convince, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and teaching, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers, and they will turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to fables. And back up to 1 Timothy chapter 4, picking up in about verse 13. The apostle writes to Timothy, says, till I come, give attention to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. Do not neglect the gift that is in you, which was given to you by prophecy with the laying on of the hands of the eldership. Meditate on these things. Give yourself entirely to them, that your progress may be evident to all. Take heed to yourself and the doctrine. Continue in them, for in doing this you will save both yourself and those that hear you. The apostle Paul had a thing about paying close attention to the doctrines of the Lord, even to the point of cursing anyone, even an angel, who tried to change the instructions of the Lord of Lords. So we need to make sure we have that same reverent respect for the Word. Do we have a fervor for maintaining and following these wonderful words of life? Do we treat these words as carefully as a string of pearls? Do we safeguard them as we would a one-carat diamond ring? They are all the words of the King of Kings. Remember Acts 2 and 36. Therefore let all the house of Israel know assuredly, God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ, supreme in authority. So how do we perceive our Lord? Is he alive and powerful? Does he in fact control our lives? He is Lord over all. He's the Lord over his church. He is the Lord of his word. Word. We went over that. I forgot to write it up there. Word. Doctrine. He sacrificed himself for the church. Will you sacrifice your life for him? Is he the Lord of your thoughts? Is he the Lord of your body? Are his words the guiding light for your life? Do you try to apply them on a regular basis? And as you're going through this life and you're realizing that I'm not feeling very spiritual right now, I'm not thinking any spiritual thoughts right now, do you turn from the path that you're on to do so? Yeah, we have lots of opportunities with us. I lost mine. Oh, here it is. Our phones. I have the Bible on my phone. I imagine most of you do too. You know what? If you can find a bench to sit down in Target, you can actually turn this thing on and find some spiritual peace and relief. That's if you can't sing or don't want to sing out loud. You can always look at the scriptures wherever you are, especially when you starting to feel kind of worldly. Yep. Even when you're on the freeway. You're doing 45 because the roads are bad and somebody blows by you doing 80. And your first thought is, what a knucklehead. Or you can think, I hope he gets to the hospital to say goodbye to his mom. Because nobody drives like that unless they're going to the hospital to see their mom on her deathbed. They must be. You have to give them reasonable doubt. So the question this morning is, how do we perceive Jesus? Is he the nice guy on the chosen, or is he the Lord of Lords, King of Kings, and is... Thank you, Michael. You go, man. You preach it. I know he's saying good things. Because he's thinking about going to see Jesus. I tell Linda that all the time. Going to see Jesus. If you're going to meet him today, would he say, well done, good and faithful servant? Or would he say, why do you call me Lord, Lord, and not do the things which I say? Today's the day to answer those questions, not tomorrow. Tomorrow may be too late. If Jesus is not the Lord of your life today, let him become so today. Thanks for your attention.